Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the National Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color as we celebrate those of you who are celebrating Easter. I hope you had a great Easter. And for those of you who are not, hope you're enjoying your Sunday. So, as we normally start off, we start off the show with the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children. Building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution and a transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1981. And today, March 31st, 2013. Moment of silence, please. Thank you. Also want to let you know the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So it's inside of that purpose and inside of that declaration that we stand here tonight inside of this conversation called International Black Summit. And I'm hoping that you are having a great one, a very, very great one. I saw some interesting colors today. I seen this brother in a pink suit with a pink bow tie, colorful, and had all kinds of colors, and looked like he had something. He had some cufflinks that were flowers. It's like, hey, hey, hey. Spring is in the air. Can't say it's quite sprung, but it's spring. It's still spring. Anyway, so we've got an interesting show for you tonight. We're going to start our production, our gardener's production for spring, getting ready for spring. We'll talk a little bit about that. And before we go there, though, I'm just going to going to check in a couple of things to see who's been naughty and nice and who has been. I just wanted to find out what do you guys think about the new Pope and what he's been up to. What kind of precedent is he setting? I actually had a conversation with my mom before, when we were waiting in the selection process. And, one of the things I said to her, I said, well, it could be actually, I says, the African cardinal had a shot. But I thought that a Latin, that it was the going to be time for a Latin Pope. And, of course, Pope Francis is that. And he's been a little, as they say, unorthodox in terms of, the big controversy this week was that he washed a woman's feet, which hasn't been done, and so on and so forth. And I think he's going to be great for the church, for the Catholic Church. I think he's going to really shake things up a little bit. And shaking things up is never a bad thing. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to what he may bring. I don't happen to be Catholic, but I still think that change would be good, and the opportunity of change that he's looking at will certainly be an interesting change. So anyway, so if you'd like to comment on that, please do press one. I can get you in that conversation if you care to partake. We've got a couple folks in the chat room, 646-716-9827. If you want to call in and be part of this conversation, please do. And we can go from there. Also, something else. I think there was something else I wanted to speak to around... I wanted to say, talk a little bit about the woman that got, I believe it's the CIA. She's now in charge of the CIA, which is also a president. So President Obama has certainly delivered some new goods to the pretty bad. And anyway, there's quite a few interesting things that are going on that are taking place that are, I think, are pretty exceptional. And looking forward to that. So, let's see. Let's get started with what can we do around, I haven't mentioned, again, this year, the annual event is going to be in Ottawa, Canada, and that is shaping up to be one event that you don't want to miss. We've got some real energized folks up in Ottawa, Canada, that are getting us ready, preparing the house for the event. And we had a wonderful event back at the end of February, actually at my birthday up in Ottawa, for the first, that Friday and Saturday. Drove back that Sunday, and they had a youth, Black Youth Conference, and they had 66 youth and 33 parents, guardians, and teachers of those youth on that Friday program. And then that Saturday program, we actually had an International Black Summit prerequisite course. So very powerful stuff, just very powerful, very community-oriented. And we also had a summit share in Baltimore on the 16th of March. So there's been a lot of interesting things going on around the network. And, of course, if you want to find out more information, you need to go to www.blacksummit.org. So a lot of interesting things. So certainly the hotel information for Ottawa will be there as well. So you definitely want to check that out and be more Academy, which is the Youth Leadership Academy up in Not on camera. So anyway, a lot of interesting stuff going on. A lot of interesting stuff. So you want to definitely want to be part of that conversation. And just wanted to this is Women's Month, and so one of the people I wanted to speak to or speak about is, we've been doing a lot of civil rights and a lot of activists, but I want to actually speak to this entertainer. Tracy Chapman was born March 30th, and her music, Fast Car, Talking About a Revolution, Baby Can I Hold You, Crossroads, Give Me One Reason, and Telling Stories. She's a multi-platinum and four-time Grammy Award-winning artist. So I just wanted to acknowledge her and some of the things that she's up to, and honoring her presence for this month. I just wanted to say that, Ms. Tracy Chapman. And, just really, she puts a smile on her face. Very good music. Very good music. And I want to acknowledge the First Family. They actually were at, went to an Episcopal church near the White House, where a few of the past presidents have frequented. Pretty cool. Pretty cool to see that that whole family conversation that the President Lilly is promoting, the President and Michelle Obama have been both in very much around family nurturing and really bringing back some. Right word. Just really, just being people to the White House. I don't think we've had young children in the White House this young, and just really pleasant to watch them growing up. Watch that whole family thing evolving. So, it's pretty cool. And from what I understand, I didn't hear it, but he did deliver an Easter holiday message. So good for him. I really like the style of leadership that he has prepared for us and presented us. Yeah, I'm always in touch with him and what he's up to. He's sparking. The other person I want to bring up, even though he's not a woman, in the month of March, but he actually was born in March. Interesting guy. John Lee Curtis, Sonny Boy Williamson, Hall of Fame blues harmonic player, born in Jackson, Tennessee. First recording was Good Morning, Schoolgirl. A major hit on the race record market back in 1937. That's really how they included things and shake the boogie, Stop Breaking Down, Check Up on My Baby. Check Up on My Baby was 1944. Stop Breaking Down was 1945. Shake the Boogie, 1947. But of course, back then, a lot different than it is now. Much, much different. And of course, we've got to speak about Naomi Ruth Sims, the first African American supermodel, who was born in Oxford, Mississippi, but raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And her early attempts to get work modeling were pretty frustrating. Mostly because of the racial prejudice, and with some telling her that her skin was too dark. Her first break came in August 1967 when she was photographed for the cover of New York Times Fashion Supplement. The next breakthrough was when she was selected for a national television campaign for AT&T. After that, she went on to achieve worldwide recognition, appearing the first black model on the cover of Ladies' Home Journal in 1968 and the cover of Life magazine in 1969. So, of course, Home Journal was a big deal, but, of course, Life was probably equivalent to People's Magazine now. So, I mean, it's huge. Life magazine was the magazine back in 1969. And Sims actually retired from modeling in 1973, started her own business. She expanded into a multi-million dollar beauty empire. She authored a couple of books of modeling, health, and beauty. I think one of them was all about health and beauty for the black woman. That was in 1976. How to Be a Top Model, 1979. All About Success for the Black Woman, 1980. And she actually just passed away in 2009. So she has not been too long gone, but certainly her legacy will live on in terms of what she's done for the model industry and specifically for the black model industry. So talk a little bit about that. The other person I'm going to speak about is a man, Johnny Cochran. He was also born in March. It was March 29th, as a matter of fact. And he was an interesting cat. Very, very interesting. But again, we're going to feature women. And I got to bring up a man, Walt Clyde Frazier. Smoothest New York Knick there ever was. He had some vines. He was born in March 29th also. Quite a few famous people in March. How about that, huh? So anyway. And one other person that I want to talk about. Oh, Pearl Bailey. Pearl May Bailey. Okay. Jazz vocalist extraordinaire, actress. She was born in Southampton County, Virginia. And she made a stage debut at 15 when she won an amateur contest in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In 1941, she toured the country with the USO, singing and dancing for American troops. In 1946, she made her Broadway debut in St. Louis, Woman. And in 1968, received a special Tony Award odd role in the all-black production of Hello, Dolly. Hello, Dolly. Bailey also appeared in a number of films, including Carmen Jones, of course, Porgy and Bess. Carmen Jones was 1954, Porgy and Bess was 59, and Norma Is That You in 76. She also earned a Bachelor's of Arts degree from Georgetown University in 1985. And she won, she actually won Daytime Emmy Award for Outstanding Performance in Children's Program for her performance in Cinderella, a modern fairy tale. She published her own autobiography, The Raw Pearl, 68. And she also published Talking to Myself in 1971 and Between You and Me in 1989. And She's just a special person. She did some work with the United Nations. Just really, really, really just a powerful force in the community. And she passed away in 1990. So, a little history for you tonight. A little history. A mystery about the history. And what else I want to say? Yeah, that's all I really want to say about that now. Anyway, so let's see. The International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. And just enjoying my day. Went out on Friday and had a ceremony where we carried the cross for about 3 miles. And, really enjoyed that walk and the memory of Good Friday and what it meant. You know, and the cross actually was a little bit heavy, so you know, bearing the burden of carrying that cross. Really kind of reflective of the, you know, what I have to be thankful for. So it really got me present to that and just got me in the thankfulness and the giving thanks to the things that I do have and the people that I have around me. To really acknowledge that, say that. This is the International Black Summit, and if you'd like some more information about what we do and how we can impact your community, please visit our website, www.blacksummit.org. And certainly you can call into the show, 646-716-9827. When you get here, if you'd like to press 1, if you'd like to, you can open up your mic and let you know, let you comment on what's going on. So, with that, I'm going to shift the conversation a little bit. And if you're in the chat room, we've got some open mics available, so open lines available, so you can call in, 646-716-9827. Call in and come hang out. My name is Glenn Greenwich, and I'm one of the facilitators of the International Black Summit. I'm also having a conversation tonight on our talk show network about what's possible. And we're going to shift the conversation in a minute or two around gardening and preparing for the spring. But, you know, that's one of the things that that we look at, you know, what is transformation? You know, what's the possibility of transformation? What is it going to take? And certainly, what is the clearing that we all need? You know, we talk about clearing in the International Black Summit, and what does that mean? Clearing is a conversation. It's an action verb. It is. It's also about a particular place, clearing. But clearing yourself is a process in which you are looking to get your stuff out of your head and to really begin to have a space so you can listen for what life is offering you and providing you. Sometimes clearing is an active process. Sometimes you want to go to a clearing. Sometimes you have to make the clearing before you can go to it. But clearing is all of that, those things, depending on where you are inside of that conversation. So clearing is one of the distinctions, one of the powerful distinctions that you get exposed to at the summit event or the summit, at any of the summit events, I should say. So we'll talk about clearing, we'll talk about trigger. Trigger is another distinction. And those are things that we talk about at summit shares, but mostly at the requisite courses and the record courses and the actual summit event, annual event. So those are the things that we engage in, and we have some lengthy conversations about that engagement, so that's not a short engagement. The annual event is a three-day event, so it starts on Thursday night, which is the opening. And by the way, if you haven't been to a summit, we require a prerequisite that will be offered that Thursday. So you'd actually have to get in that Wednesday night because the event, the prerequisite course starts at 9 o'clock that Thursday morning and it goes to completion. And then we have an opening event that Thursday night, which is usually something reflective of the city that we're, that's the whole city. So the whole city creates an event that is representative of that particular city, and it's also an opportunity to welcome the folks that are attending and also meet and greet the city. So it's a couple opportunities that occur with side of that conversation that are very useful and very powerful. And then we have all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then Sunday till about 3 o'clock now. So the summit event is really, the annual event is really an opportunity for you to come, bring your family, bring your friends, bring your loved ones, and to really engage in what they're up to. And so this is what they call a conversation or course for you, for your personal development. It's not for anybody else, but for you. So it's an opportunity for you to engage and really look to see where you want to have your breakthroughs and what you want to do, what is it that you want to expand yourself in terms of getting focused around your leadership, get focused around your projects, get focused around your personal work that you want to do, you know, depending on what that is. And but it's a three-day conversation that's geared for you to be more productive around the things that you're doing. So, it's a little bit about the summit in a nutshell. And we'll talk some more about that. If you have some questions, certainly give a ring-a-ding-ding. Call us on 646-716-9827. And we'll be glad to engage you in inside of that conversation. So, okay. Oh, my goodness. I was just looking at something. Meet Herbert and Zelmar Myra Fisher of North Carolina. They've been married 85 years. It'll be 86 years in May. They hold the Guinness World Record for the longest marriage of a living couple. And get this, Selma is 101 and Herbert is 104. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, you see. Some folks of color that have been able to live, both of them to live over 100, to be married for 86 years. Some people won't even live 86 years. Especially they've been married for that long. Congratulations for you guys. Powerful stuff. Anyway, digressing a little bit. Now and then. So, let's get this party started. Spring. Has spring sprung? First of all, let's have that conversation. So what does spring sprung look like? Well, for me, here's a couple of indicators. I've got some land turtles, and before I'll bring them out, actually I have one passed away. So I have one left, and what I do is I look for when I can bring them out and what I need in order to bring them out. is the temperatures not to dip below 50 degrees. So 50 degrees and higher is usually when I bring them out. And so for me, that's usually the time when I am looking to plant my plants. So that's about the time that would be a good time to actually plant my plants. So that's probably going to happen in the next couple of weeks, usually after Easter. Most of the nurseries are actually going to have they'll have their plants available shortly after Easter. Now, when you look at it, so we're talking about, you know, April, middle of April, sometimes May, before I actually get my plants in the ground. The earlier you can get them in the ground is better. However, you don't want to have those cold spots. And you want to now begin to look at the hardiness of plants that you do plant. So something like a rosemary or some kind of herb can handle the cold. You can bury that sooner than, you know, plant that sooner than you and some of the other things. Like okra, you're not going to plant till May. Because it's just, you know, 50 degrees is way too cold for it. It almost needs to be in the 70s on the consistent before you plant like an okra or something like that. So, again, you've got to know what kind of growing takes place, is taking place, and what kind of sturdiness. Now, long before you plant the ground, you need to prepare the ground. And so the thing around that is that there's a couple things you can do. One of the things that you would want to do is to certainly break up and pull up any weeds or anything that have come up. And what I like to do, what my mother trained me to do, is to turn up the soil. So what I do is I try and go at least 7 or 8 inches with the pitchfork, although you can use one of those rotundas, which is basically something that twists the soil, so you kind of twist the whole thing, and that can bring up the. So you want to go down, you know, it kind of turns up the soil, and it actually is a little easier to do than pitchfork. You know, I kind of grew up on a pitchfork when before that actually came out. However. I think it works just as well. It really does to kind of break it up and aerate the soil. It's what you want to do. But anyway, so you want to do that. And then along doing that, so I'll do that, and then I'll add some manure, some compost. So either some compost or some compact manure. You can get that, you know, at most of the nurseries. Cow manure is what I use. It's organic. And you mix that into the soil. And you want to mix that in 2 to 3 weeks before you actually plant. So you're going to be planting in the next, you know, before the end of April. You really want to have to start that in the next week or two, so that you can give at least 2 weeks to let the manure kind of settle in and kind of wash into the ground. You get a couple of rainstorms and set it up. Now, if you've got things like I've got, where you've got garlic and you've got some other things that are going to come back up, so you want to just at least turn the dirt up around it so that you get some, you know, don't get the water pattern. So you're trying to pick up the water pattern so that that it's going to get the water it needs around it, the plants that are existing, and then of course where you're going to plant. Again, the other part of it is that you want to dig up and turn up what you can, and then you want to, you know, want to establish all the stuff that's going to be grown back. It's a good opportunity to now pull back some of your mints. If you've got some mints who are very, very precious, you can use that. This would be a good time to pull up some of those roots and to pull it back. I like to let them come up and then pull them up later. I get the benefit of the early mint. And, usually my neighbors are pretty, I've got four or five neighbors that I also get to mint to, so they enjoy getting the fresh mint from the garden. So you can do it a couple of different ways. If you have strawberries, you have a strawberry patch. The strawberry patch and the first batch is going to be the biggest. That's normally what happens to me. Again, I don't use Miracle-Gro or any of the super growth hormones, which would then make your garden not organic. I use, like I said, I just use compost. One of the things, the manure, or compost, if you've got your own compost, certainly. And this is something I heard that I hadn't thought about, but go to the circus. The circus has got all those herbivores, and their stuff is very rich, you know, the horse and certainly the elephants, are very good for your garden. I saw something that was pretty interesting, and I said I was going to do it this winter. Actually, the time to have done it would have been in the fall, but fish emulsions. So what is a fish emulsion? Well, basically, from what I understand, it's just the excess the biodegradable stuff that is put together, and they liquefy it, and then they have it to put into your garden. So what I was thinking about is, you know, the fish markets have all those guts and all that other stuff. Doesn't smell too well, but would be great for the garden. The other thing that I've seen that works pretty well, that a lot of people have used in the past is shells, clam and oyster shells. They break it up and put that into the soil, and that's very good for rebuilding the soil. The other thing that I do, and I don't do that every year, I do it maybe once every year or two, or maybe even three, I'll put down some limestone. The limestone is very good, again, because you want to rebuild that soil. You know, especially if you're growing, like I grow, I don't have that big a piece of soil. So I use every inch of that soil every year. And so if you've got things in there, you want to put it back. You want to rebuild that soil so that it still has got the nutrients and it's got the things that it needs to grow. So you certainly want to do that. You want to get that done early, and you want to let it set. Now, ultimately, that's something that actually could be done in the fall. I like to do it in the spring, just kind of so that it's nice and fresh, and so that when I plant in a week or two, that that's still there, and that'll help plants kind of stimulate them by having manure already mixed into the soil. One of the things that that's also very interesting and good for your plants is if you've got a lot of earthworms. So earthworms are very good. So if you've got earthworms in your soil, that's a very, very powerful and good thing that you definitely want to have. And because what they do is they enrich in the soil. So you definitely want to have them have that available. Let's see. So those are some of the things that you want to do to to prepare your garden. And the other thing that you can look to do is to make sure that you got all the stuff in working order. So you want to have your hoe, some hoes lined up, a big one and a little one. You want to have something to aerate, something to dig up. And I have the ones on the handles, and I also have the short hand ones that when I kneel down and I'm doing some more specific gardening, I can depending on what you're doing. So if you're doing a wide area, you want a long handle, but sometimes you want to do just some spot weeding and so on and so forth. I don't put down any the no weed stuff. Try to keep my garden as organic as possible. Once I realized that I wasn't being organic when by using Miracle-Gro. So I'll put down what I can. So I'm still contemplating whether I'll put these fish emulsions down. My mother's back window is near there, so I'm sure that if I put it down, she'll complain about the smell. But it's one of the reasons why I haven't done it yet. But the time to do it would be in the fall, and just to let that stuff kind of hang out there. So let's see. So those are some of the things I definitely want to do. This is the International Black Summer Talk Show Network, and we're having a conversation about gardening and preparing your garden, getting your garden ready for the season, upcoming season. One of the things that you really want to look at is normally April, the saying April showers and May flowers. So you want to look and kind of anticipate that you're going to be getting a lot of rain and what that's going to make a difference in terms of your garden. So so you, again, don't necessarily want to use all of your water, but you want to kind of look to see what works with Mother Nature. You want to kind of do some things and time some things around that specific. One of the things that's going to be real critical is where you get your plants from. Where you get your plants from is a critical factor I almost don't want to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I prefer smaller nurseries. The products that I've gotten from Home Depot, for example, Home Depot's nursery, and I'll say what I got, which was specifically tomato plants, I didn't feel were as sturdy as some of the other tomato plants I've gotten. Now, I've gotten some great strawberries and some other stuff from Home Depot that were very good. So it really depends. So my experience is that I've had better luck either growing my own or and interestingly, the last 2 years I actually haven't even bought tomato plants. I've actually hope I don't gross anybody out, but like I said, I had these two land turtles, and I would feed them a lot of tomatoes. And so what they would do is, of course, tomatoes come out the other end. When I turn the ground that I have them in a little storage bin, and I have the bottom layered with the soil. And so what I've done the last 2 years is turn that soil over. And what I mean by that is I'll take it out of there and put it inside on top of the soil I've turned over. And that area has proliferated tomato plants. So I've been able to not have to worry about buying tomatoes. And it's usually, I actually like the little cherry tomatoes and the grape tomatoes. I think that those are probably some of the best tasting tomatoes. And that's what I've been feeding the turtles. And so I've had the seeds, consistently had the seeds from that. And so it's been the last 2 years, like I said, I haven't even bought tomato plants. So I've been able to get a very healthy tomato production that way. The other thing that I've told a couple of people, and I've found to be helpful for myself is to, tomatoes spoil. Don't throw them away, throw them in your backyard. You throw them in a spot, and you'll be surprised that you'll get some tomato plants in that area. So it's kind of almost like a composting. And I was going to, that's the other thing I was going to talk about. If you do composting, and what does that mean? Well, what you do is all the biodegradable kinds of things, any kind of plant, any kind of food item that you want to throw away that's organic, you put that together. You can put that with old leaves. You can put that with, you want mostly like, you don't want too many branches and stuff, but, tomatoes, food stuff. Vegetable stuff, you chop up, peppers, chop up, the onions, the outside of onions and stuff. You peel out the layers. All of those kinds of things that actually go in a compost. Now they have what they call those compost barrels that you can create, or you can dig a hole and put it in there and just kind of cover it back up and deteriorate. So, that's another way of composting. So there are different things that you can do. So you can actually make your own compost and add that to the garden. The old leaves, the leaves that you get from all the trees blowing around. It's also very useful. Some of the older vines, something that's not very thick, but like the old tomato, debris, all of that. So all of that you can put in one spot and compost, or you can, rake the stuff up and put it in a corner for the winter. And let it build up as well. And then, of course, you can spread that out in the spring when you're turning over the soil. So I think that, the important thing is to turn over the soil and make sure that you're got some air you're going to spread in some manure and some of the limestone to kind of put back the nutrients back into the soil. And, of course, if you're going to compost, that will help as well. So all those things will help to spur the getting your area ready for planting. And, again, the planting season, depending on what it is, you can probably begin to put some things in the ground in the next week or two. And if you can get them in that early, that's wonderful and powerful. And if you grow your own seeds, Hopefully you've got them started now and you've got some plans for you, so that you'll have some plants that you can actually put in the ground by the end of April. Because you don't really want to go too much further than that. But, again, depends what it is. The tomato plants that I get from the turtle bed usually don't start bearing till September. So, but if you've got some bigger plants that you grow either inside or buy from a nursery, you can put them in the ground and they should start bearing for you the end of June, July, maybe even August. So it depends. But like I said, I've got so many and they're so clustered that I'll get tomatoes all the way up until October. So it depends. So they bear a little later. I'm going to be traveling to the summit. So I know that by the time I get back from the summit, I'll have a good crop of tomatoes and my raspberries. My second branch of raspberries might be coming up as well by that time frame, August, September. So the raspberries bear twice. And then the strawberries will actually bear all summer, but they require more water, and the April showers usually make them nice, big and juicy. Unless you're watering them consistently, strawberries will be a little smaller after that first batch. But, there's a lot of different things that you want to look at and set up, because if you're gonna grow some acorn squash or some butternut squash or some of the other things, you're gonna need somewhere for it to run. If you want it to build some things for it to climb up on. So you want to plan that out and try to kind of figure out the structuring of your garden. Make sure that what you're up to and what's going on. So all of that stuff is pretty important. The planning of where you're going to plant certain things, where you're going to put it, how you're going to have it set up. I've got an area where I've got my raspberries. I've got another area where I've got some blueberry plants, and I just got some blackberry plants last year. So I'm interested to see how they're going to come up. And then I've got my strawberry patch on another side. And then I've got my sage that should be coming back. This keeps coming back pretty big. And then I've got some Italian oregano. And I have some garlic. And I got to tell you, the garlic crop was pretty spectacular last year. I had garlic. They weren't huge, but I had garlic pretty much all winter from the garlic that I had gotten from my garden. And they were small, but they were very, very powerful. And I love doing my garden. I love making the tea from the fresh mint. I've got a couple different mints. So I've got apple mint, spearmint, peppermint, and lemon mint, which is actually called lemon balm, but it's lemon mint. Now, I got to tell you, I went to the, what was that? Oh man, I can't think of the name of it, but it wasn't a nursery, but it was actually actually had an outdoor. Can't call the name of it, but anyway, and they had these outdoor gardens at Farmingdale, and went out there with my sister, and oh my goodness, it was amazing. And they've got so many kind of mints. They've got cat. cat mint, they've got this mint. I heard about six or seven different mints that I had never even heard about before, that are just amazing. So I've got those mints. I've got a check, but I planted some collard greens. I hadn't gotten some collards in a while, and I got some. And but what do vegetarian types would be very interested in is that I had some kale, and that is very, very hearty and was very, very good. And so I want you to know that that was pretty exciting. Get that, and that's going to come back, and that stayed all winter. So I'm very eager to see how that's going to what that's going to look like. I've had the collard greens before, and had them come through the winter, and then of course those are usually pretty tough, so you want to let the new spring growth come up. But that'll be interesting. Soon. Certainly. And so for now, I'm going to leave that, alone for this Sunday, for this conversation, and let you know this is International Black Summer Talk Show Network, and we come to your lines and in color every Sunday. And we just want to let you know that we're really here for you inside of the conversation of empowerment, and really about moving things forward, moving your life forward, making some things happen. And really just really about it, just about empowerment. And just happy to be here, happy to be part of this conversation, happy to participate, and looking forward to you participating inside of this conversation. We had a couple callers. Nobody wanted to join in and speak, but that's fine. We have that from time to time. So, without any further ado, please check out our website, www.blacksummer.org. We've got some fantastic information about what's happening, what we're doing, what we're looking to move forward, and also what we're up to. We also have events. We have three kind of events. We have a summit share, we have a prerequisite, and then we have the annual event. So those summit shares and those prerequisite courses are happening around the country. Prerequisite courses are one-day introduction to the summit, but it actually gives you some tools, and it's a standalone course program that you can actually begin to utilize the distinctions, which are some tools that are provided inside the International Black Summit. Summit Share is really just an opportunity to share a little bit. You can engage in the declaration and kind of look at it for yourself. So all of those things are available, and then of course the summit annual event is a three-day event. So those are some of the opportunities that you have available, and certainly you can call into the talk show. Well, with that, good night. God bless. Hope the information was useful. We love you. Thank you for your partnership, and continue to be blessed inside of this conversation and inside your life. Good night, and God bless.